Father God, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to jump into your word now. God, I pray that you would help us to dive in with both feet, God, not to hesitate, not to look back, God, but to trust you, believing that, God, you have everything under control. Lord, I just ask for your spirit and your power, God, now to anoint me. God, help me to speak with clarity and conviction. Lord, help me to speak your words with boldness, God. But more importantly, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would have its way in this service right now, God, that you would speak to hearts, God, and you would share things with people that I'm not even saying, but God, that is exactly what they need to hear today. So God, I just ask that you would pour out your spirit right now. God, we're so grateful that you're here. And God, we want to learn from you. We want to receive from you. We want to understand what you are saying to us today. And Lord, we just thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, while we were at camp, our speaker said something. He was talking about the importance of writing notes, and I'm going to try to remember, but if I butcher it, I've got a couple people down front here who are going to help me out. So he would say that that you should all take notes, and we provide a note page on the back of your program for you to be able to take notes. He said, because you can't remember what God said if you don't remember what God said. Is that right? You can't remember what God said to you if you can't remember what God said to you. So we provide note pages as a way for you to be able to record and to take notes and to remember the things that God is telling you to do. We also try and do fill in the blank stuff, but that's not as important as just having some lines to be able to write down the things that God is saying to you, because he wants to communicate with you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to let you know things about your life, and he wants to challenge you in areas and encourage you in areas. And so we write things down so that we can remember. All right, let's jump into the message today. So everybody knows that cracking your knuckles gives you arthritis, right? Everybody knows that swallowed gum stays in your stomach for 7 years. Of course, everybody knows that if you touch a toad, you're going to get warts. Right? Or, as my mom used to always tell me, if you keep it up, your face is going to get stuck that way. Right? Everybody knows these things. Everybody knows that goldfish only have a 3-second memory. Everybody knows that you only use 10% of your brain. Now, these might seem like silly things, but here's the truth. We all believe lies sometimes. And especially when they come packaged in short, easy-to-say sayings, we start to believe these things about ourselves. We start to believe things about God. We start to believe things about what we're capable of. And unlike the toad thing, those lies can have real consequences in the way that we live our lives. That's why God gave us the belt of truth from the armor, because in a spiritual battle, the first line of defense is knowing what's true. So if you have your Bibles today, we're going to jump back into Ephesians chapter 6. Go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 6, because God has promised us a life of victory. But like we've been talking about for the last few weeks, victory doesn't mean that there's no battles. Instead, victory means that we're not fighting alone and we're not fighting unarmed. Because if we're being honest, life doesn't hold back. Some days it feels like everything's great. It feels like you're sprinting along. Everything is amazing. Other days it feels like a war zone. Stresses stack up at work. Maybe unexpected bills throw off your plans. Conversations that you're having turn into conflicts. Or there's that inner voice inside of you that starts whispering, you're not enough. You can't do it. You're never going to make it. You're not good enough. You don't have enough knowledge, whatever it is. And it starts whispering to you. And if you listen to it long enough, you start to believe it. But it's not just about life being hard. It's a spiritual battle that's taking place. And this is what Paul exposes to us in Ephesians chapter 6. And the truth is that we're in a spiritual battle, but too many of us, we step into that battle with our guards down. And we walk in expecting that everything is going to be okay, but we haven't made the preparations necessary in order to accomplish the things that God has asked us to accomplish. It would be like a firefighter running into a building without his gear on, or like a soldier heading into battle with no helmet or no weapon. Nobody would do that, right? Nobody would do that, because without protection, you're exposed. And in the same way, we're exposed constantly to the lies of the enemy. There's an entire media ecosystem that is trying to convince you, trying to lie to you, trying to twist your thinking so that you don't have to rely on God, and instead you just rely on yourself. And these are the lies that we've been trying to expose these last few weeks. We try to overcome fear without peace. We try to overcome temptation without truth. That's a big one. And we try to fight pressure without faith. But God never intended us to fight unarmed. That's why Paul urges us in Ephesians chapter 6 to put on the full armor of God. And our big thought, the thing that has overridden the last few weeks, the thing that we've been tossing around is you can't win a spiritual war with half of your armor on. It's just not going to work. You can't win a spiritual war unless you have everything in place. Are you guys in Ephesians? All right. Okay, Ephesians is a book in the New Testament. Paul wrote it to the church in Ephesus, talking to them about who to believe in and how to live according to God's word. And so we're going to start today in verse 10. This is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, "All right, fam, listen up. Like, be totally pumped, my squad, and get that inner strength from the Lord, tapping in to the mad power." That's not what your guys' translation says? Let me keep going. "Rock the full-on God gear so you can totally flex on the devil's sneaky moves." So one of the bets that I made with the students at camp was that for a minute, that I would preach out of the Gen Z Bible today. So this is actually a paraphrase Bible. So it's not an actual word for word translation. It's a paraphrase of the King James version of the Bible. And somebody tried to update it for the way that Gen Z kids live. So we've got the words up on the screen behind me. I'm going to start back at the beginning, and then I promise we'll shift into a more normal translation as well. But they really wanted to get this on video. All right, fam, listen up. This is starting back to verse 10. "Like, be totally pumped, my squad, and get that inner strength from the Lord." And don't we all want that inner strength from God? Isn't that what we're all looking for in life? We're looking for a foundation that we can call out to. And the Bible says here that we can get that inner strength from the Lord, tapping into his mad power. "Rock the full-on God gear so that you can totally flex on the devil's sneaky moves." Because we know that there's a devil out there that's trying to pull some things over on us. And we don't want that. He says, "Yo, listen up, we ain't just battling regular peeps here. It's not the normal people that you see, but instead like some serious higher level stuff. We're talking about these powerful entities, the rulers of the dark side of the world, some wicked spirits up in the heavenly realms. It's a full-on spiritual fight, no joke. So keep your guard up and stay strong, because we're in for a wild ride. So, like, make sure you equip yourself with the full armor of God, you know? It's going to help you stay strong and resist all of the bad stuff that comes your way. And don't forget to give it your all and keep standing tall no matter what happens. Oh, and by the way, having done all can also mean that you've totally, conquered everything. So, like, stand strong with the truth, with the armor up with righteousness, you know? And make sure you've got your kicks ready. That's shoes, in case you didn't know what that was. Flexing that gospel of peace. Yo, listen up, fam. Put on that shield of faith. You feel me? It's going to help you block all those hella intense attacks the wicked be throwing at you. Get that salvation swag. Put on your helmet and wield the lit sword of the Spirit, also known as the Word of God. And always stay connected to God through constant communication and heartfelt requests being guided by the Holy Spirit. Stay vigilant and persistent in your prayers for all believers. That was Ephesians 6, 10 to 18 in the Gen Z Bible. Amen. There's a lot of truth in there, right? There's a lot of good stuff. And it was, you know, as you're reading through it, it's definitely a different way of wording things than we're used to, but it's still God's word, and it's still meant to impact our lives. Reading it in the NIV version says this, we're just going to do verses 10 to 13, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand up against the devil's schemes. And we've talked about the last couple weeks that the devil has things that he's trying to do in your life. He's got methods that he's using, strategies that he's employed in order to try and trick you, in order to keep you down. For our struggle isn't against flesh and blood, but it's against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It's against the rulers, authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, he says, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after having done everything, to stand. Because God has given us tools to use, and this is what we've been talking about in this series. I'm going to go over them really quick, but you can go back. They're all up on YouTube or on our podcast now, so you can listen to the other pieces. But he says, put on the full armor of God. So what is the full armor of God? We're going to go through these first four really quick. The first one is the belt of truth. And this is important because, like I said, the enemy's number one strategy is to try to lie to you. In fact, Jesus called him the father of lies. It says when he lies, he's speaking his native language. It's what he knows how to do. But the belt of truth frees us from Satan's lies because, as we're going to see, it holds the rest of the armor together and it helps keep us grounded in knowing what God wants for us. Truth stabilizes you when the emotions, pressure, and other people's opinions try to define you, because you've got something that is a standard that you can look back to. And you can say, this is true, and so then the rest of my reality has to conform to this, not the other way around. And when I'm going through hard times, I can look in here to find what is true. He says, So the first one was the belt of truth. Second one is the breastplate of righteousness. This is something that Jesus gives to us when we're saved. In fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus gave us his righteousness. That he came, he lived a sinless life, he was completely perfect, he was the perfect sacrifice for our sins, and when he died and rose again, the Bible tells us that he not only saved us from hell, but it was so much better than that, because he not only got us out of the prison that we were in, but it's almost like he gave us, if he was the CEO of a company, and he frees us from prison, and then he signs the company over to us. And he says, here, this is all yours now, and you get to run with this. This is what the righteousness of God means. It means we have right standing before God. So when we walk into his presence, the Bible says we can walk in with boldness. This is the righteousness of God that God has given us. And when you don't know the truth of that, when you don't understand what that means, then you don't know to trust God when the stresses of life are eating away at you and when the pressures of temptation are coming against you. So we have the belt of truth, we have the breastplate of righteousness, we have the shoes of the gospel of peace, and this is all about standing firm in Christ. But we talked about how our peace isn't passive. It's not just a passive sort of peace, but instead these shoes back then would have been fitted with cleats on the bottom of them so that they could stand firm in the battle. And that's what peace does for us. In fact, in Philippians chapter 4, it says that the peace of God, which surpasses all knowledge, will guard our hearts and minds. It keeps us from making bad decisions. It keeps us centered on God and who he is. And so when we have that peace, we can trust him and we can stand firm in everything that God is asking us to do. Belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, shoes of peace, and then last week we talked about the shield of faith. We talked about how the shield blocks the flaming arrows of the enemy. These are all of these lies that he's trying to shoot at you, all of these things that he's trying to pass off, the fears, the doubts, the insecurities of life. And we said that faith extinguishes what fear tries to ignite, because we've got all of these darts coming out of us. Now, fire, if you think about fire and these fiery darts, fire spreads when there's fuel and there's oxygen. And if you take away one of those things, fuel, oxygen, I guess, and heat, but fire spreads when there's enough fuel and oxygen. So the more that we dwell on our fears, the more that we dwell on our doubts, the more that we dwell on our insecurities, the more that fear is going to spread. But what faith does is it sets up a shield in front of us that says, I'm not going to listen to those things anymore, but instead I'm going to hold up something that I know that I can trust in right here, right? I'm going to hold up the word of God in front of me because I know that I can trust it. And then when those darts come, when those attacks come, when those arrows come, they get extinguished because of the faith that's operating in your life. belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, shoes of peace, shield of faith. Now today, we're going to look at the helmet of salvation. And the tagline for this, or what I wrote, is about preserving our faith, or it's about guarding our perspective. It's about us understanding what God is trying to say to us and says about us. And really, this is the thing that when the attacks of life come, it guards our mind. It helps to keep us centered on what God wants us to do. It's not just about sinful thoughts. It's not just about temptations that come, but instead it guards us against confusion. And it guards us against despair. And it guards us against a spiritual form of amnesia that causes us to forget all of the good things that God has for us. And it causes us to focus more on the circumstance than on what God is wanting to do in our lives. So when the enemy starts shouting at us, or when he starts shooting these darts at us, that says, you're not really saved. God would never use somebody like you. You're a failure. You're never going to be able to live up to this God thing. God's done with you. When the enemy tries to lie to you, you put on the helmet of salvation, and you can start to anchor your thoughts in the truth of who you are in Christ. There's a really important verse that Paul writes earlier in the book of Ephesians, and I want to just read it right now. It's in Ephesians chapter 2, and he says this. He has, got it right here. He says, because of God's favor, you are rescued by your belief. And it's not something you did on your own. No, it's a dope gift from God. It's not about doing things to show off so no one can brag about it. Or if we read it in the NIV, it says it's by grace you've been saved. It's by grace you've been saved. Through faith, and this is not of yourselves. Instead, it's a gift of God. If I could encourage you guys to memorize any scripture, I do this a lot, but this would be a good one to write down, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And when the doubts, when the insecurities, when the fears come, when the confusion comes in life, when you're laying on your pillow at night and you're staring up at your ceiling because you can't get to sleep and you're not sure what to believe about God, Jesus, the Bible, truth is all of us have been there. All of us have had these moments. And oftentimes in Christian churches, we don't want to admit it because we're afraid that it makes our faith look weak, or we're afraid that it makes us seem less than. But that's a lie of the enemy, right? The Bible says that we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. When we speak these things out, when we say, I was doubting, I was struggling, I was wrestling with something, but I overcame it. When we speak those things out, the Bible says that the enemy is knocked back, that he is defeated in that way. And so the helmet of salvation, then, what it does is it helps us when those doubts come, when those fears come, when we're bound by insecurity or we're racked with guilt. It helps us to remember that it wasn't about us in the first place. It's by grace you've been saved. It's by God's grace that you were saved. It wasn't anything that you did, right? It's not of yourselves. He says, instead, it's a free gift that God gave to you. And going back to the conversation about righteousness, it was this free gift, and then it was like, and here's another gift, and here's another gift, and here's another thing I want to say to you, and here's another promise that I have for you, and here's more on top of that. And every time we turn around, it's like there's new blessings that come. And so we put on the helmet of salvation because it helps to remind us that we are His, that we belong to Him, that we've been saved, that we didn't have to do it. So when the enemy tries to lie to you and says you're not enough, you say, you know what? It wasn't about me anyway. It wasn't about my faith anyway. It wasn't something that I worked up inside of myself. I wasn't good enough to save myself. So you can say I'm not good enough all you want, but like I have already kind of acknowledged that. And instead I'm walking in the grace and the truth that God has for me. He says, that was chapter 3 right here. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It wasn't by anything that I did. Instead, it's through what He did. And so I don't have to try and stand up to the enemy and be like, no, gosh darn it, I am good enough. I am smart enough, and people like me. Right? That was an SNL skit, in case you guys missed that. And so we can stand up instead. We don't have to try and prove ourselves. We just prove who God is, what God did for us. And that is what the helmet of salvation does for us. You anchor your thoughts in the truth of who you are in Christ. It's like putting on a team helmet in football. It not only protects you, it not only keeps you on the same page, it not only tells you what huddle to go to, but also it gives you this identification with a certain team. When you walk up to the huddle, everybody knows that you're supposed to be there. When you're sitting in the locker room, everybody understands who you are. But when you're outside of that locker room, when you don't have your helmet on, when you don't have any of your team gear on, you can get mistaken for everybody. For anybody. But when you walk in and you put on that helmet of salvation, you're identifying yourself. You're saying, I am on God's team. I am on God's side. And I am going to live for Him because He's done so much for me. There's no way that I could possibly not live for Him, right? Amen. So salvation reminds you then that I've been rescued. I didn't have to do it. That I belong to Jesus. That I'm not who I used to be. That I have a future and a hope, that God has planned things for me. God called me on purpose for a purpose. God wanted to use me. You see, without the helmet, you're vulnerable to these mental attacks, to these lies of the enemy, to the spiraling thoughts, to the spiritual confusion, to the constant self-doubt. You're vulnerable to all of these things. But with the helmet, you can start to see clearly. And you start to understand who you are and whose you are. You start to think from a heavenly perspective. And you fight with confidence because you know that you're saved, that you're secure, and that you belong to God. So when your job feels unstable, or when your kids are struggling, or when anxiety starts to take over, what I want you to remember is I'm saved, God is for me, and He hasn't brought me this far to leave me now. Let me say that one more time. You might want to write this down. I want you to remember that I'm saved, that God is on my side, that God is for me, and that He didn't bring me this far to leave me now. One of the most powerful thoughts that I had to wrestle with as a teenager and a young adult, as I was really starting to make my faith my own, was I would come to church, I would worship, I would pray, I'd read my Bible, I'd participate in the service, I'd be taking notes, I'd be believing God, I'd go forward for the altar call, and then the next day, what happens? What happens? You forget all about it, right? You just go about your week. You just go about your normal routine. And then I'd show up, and we had church like 5 days a week, so I had lots of opportunities to get resaved. But I would go back, and I'd go in, I'd jump in. Okay, God, this time I'm going to make it real. I'm going to make it. But eventually, after doing that a few times, there's this guilt that starts to rack up inside of you. There's this shame that you start to feel. You're like, man, I really want to serve God, but also, I can't stop looking at those websites. But also, every time I get cut off in traffic, I just start yelling. I can't control myself. Also, when my kids are crazy, I check out. I can't even be there anymore. I want to live for God, but I don't know how to do it. And one of these powerful thoughts that God reminded me of is when I got saved and the blood of Jesus washed me clean of all of my sins. He washed me clean of all of my past. But the truth is, my past was in Jesus' future. And so when Jesus was there on the cross and when Jesus died for my sins, He died for all of the sins that I was ever going to commit. It wasn't just my past. He died for my present and He died for my future as well. And some of you guys needed to hear that today, because this is a lie that the enemy tries to trick you with. Romans chapter 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because the law of the Spirit of life, in other words, the law that says that Jesus came, He died, He rose again so that we can have life, the law of the Spirit of life has made me free from the law of sin and death. Because I used to have to do things a different way. I used to have all of this guilt controlling me, but now there's no condemnation. There's no guilt. There's no shame. Do we have to bring it back to Him? Absolutely. You don't want to live that way again. You don't want to continue. I don't have time to go into it right now, but Romans 5, 6, and 7, and then read chapter 8. Okay, Romans 5, 6, 7, write it down. Romans 5, 6, and 7, and then read chapter 8. Because in Romans 5, 6, and 7, Paul wrestles with this. He says, I've been set free, so does that mean that I can just go ahead and sin? Well, of course not. That's not what it means. So he wrestles with it for three chapters, and then in Romans 8, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if this is something that you've wrestled with, read those chapters, and then see how it concludes in Romans chapter 8. So when we put on the helmet of salvation, it reminds us that I'm saved, that God is for me, and that he hasn't brought me this far to leave me now. Instead, he wants to continue to walk with you. He saved you on purpose for a purpose. And our last piece of the armor is the sword of the Spirit. Everybody say sword of the Spirit. All right. This is the only offensive weapon in the armor of God, right? This is the only one that we see. And we see, as we look through the Gospels, we see Jesus wielding this weapon. We see Jesus as he's confronted by the lies and the attacks of the enemy, as he's lied to. I opened with it last week, but as he's in the wilderness, and the enemy tries to come against him and tries to lie to him, tries to whisper all of these things to him, and he confronts it with the Word of God. And what we see then is it's not about our willpower. It's not about our willpower that enables us to fight back, but instead we overcome the enemy by speaking the truth of God. I mentioned what we did just a little bit earlier. I said we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So when we start speaking God's truth, when we start saying, this is who God says I am, this is what God says about me, when we start to understand, and we don't just get it in our head, but when it starts coming out of our mouth, because there's something so powerful about speaking the truth that God has for us, when it starts to come out of our mouth, the Bible says it's like a weapon. In fact, Hebrews chapter 4 says it this way. It says, the word of God is alive and active, that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So when we speak the words of God, it says it penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart. What's happening here? When we start to speak the truth of God, the enemy is lying to us, but we start to combat those lies with the truth of God. And what happens then? It starts to convict us. It starts to confront us. It says, okay, yes, this is true. This is the truth that you just spoke out, but there's some things in your life that you might need to fix. And so it separates those things out for us. It provides clarity for us, so that we can start to live the way that God has intended for us to live. See, God's word isn't just for defense, but instead, it's for offense. I wondered then why, when Paul was writing this, he didn't call it the sword of truth. Because it really is about the word of God. In fact, when we see Jesus pictured in the book of Revelation, the Bible says that he comes back, he's wearing a white robe, and out of his mouth comes the truth of the word of God, that there's a sword in his mouth, and it is the word of God. So we know over and over and over again throughout the scriptures, it's listed that the word of God is our sword. And yet when Paul wrote this, he used the word spirit. And I was confused by that. I was like, God, why did you do this? Why did you set it up this way? But I think that what God is trying to say to us today, and I think the thing that God said to me when I was studying this out was that the reason that he used the word spirit instead of the word truth is because sometimes the truth can be wielded in a way that isn't profitable. Sometimes the truth can be wielded in a way that isn't kind, that doesn't bring people to repentance, that just brings shame and guilt and frustration and fear and condemnation. And the truth can be used in a way that is not leading people towards Jesus. And so there is this balance. In fact, Jesus talks about it when he says that we have to worship God in spirit and in truth. That it's got to be both. And so I think that Paul knew that he was talking about the sword of the word of God, and so he said the sword of the Spirit, because he said the truth that you speak has to be guided by the Spirit of God. It has to be guided by what God wants to do in you and through you. Otherwise, we've seen throughout history how the truth has been used to produce guilt, to manipulate, to coerce, to oppress people. Back in Romans, I think, says if the law could bring salvation, there would have been no need for Jesus to come. Actually, that was in Galatians. We just talked about that a couple weeks ago. I didn't write it in my notes, though. If the law could produce freedom on its own, there would have been no reason for the Spirit to come. But what we see here is when you have the Spirit and the truth working together, it can produce freedom in your life, but not just freedom in your life. God wants to bring freedom to those around you as well. And so when we put on the full armor of God, we are able to not just establish ourselves, although that's important. We're not able just merely to stand firm, but we can begin to advance the kingdom of God. Everywhere we go, we can start to speak truth over that area. Every situation we find ourselves in, we can start to proclaim the truth. And what happens is that the enemy is beaten back. And it's not just about changing my heart, and it's not just about changing my mind, but instead what happens is other people start to see how you're living. They see the righteousness that's on you. They see the peace. They see the helmet of salvation that's identifying you with God, and they start to understand that there is something for them as well. And the kingdom of God advances as you learn to speak the truth, guided by the Spirit. Without the sword of the Spirit, you feel helpless. It's like you have nothing to fight back with. You vent, you distract, or you shut down, but you don't advance spiritually. But with it, you can push back the darkness. When your kids are struggling, you pray scriptures over them. When you're anxious, you quote the promises of God. And when you do that, you don't just survive life, but instead you start to fight back with the truth of God, leading your home and your heart with strength and with clarity. So to wrap this up today, if I could have the worship team go ahead and join me back on stage, I want you to imagine again a soldier running into battle without shoes on. Rocks all over the place. They're trying to get to the front lines. They're trying to set up where they need to. But every step they take is painful. Every step is difficult. And there's these arrows that are flying all around them, but they don't have a shield in place. And so they're running, they're doing their best, they're trying to charge to the front lines, but now what's happening, they're having to do it in their own strength. They're not relying on trusting in God to protect them. They don't have those shoes on, they don't have that shield in place. Instead, they're just trying to muster up enough courage to take another step. But that's not the life that God has for us. That's not what God ever intended for us. You can't win a spiritual war with only half your armor on. The armor is really all or nothing. So let me ask this. What piece of the armor have you left behind? I'll go through them one more time. There's the belt of truth. Okay, it's all about memorizing the Word of God. If you're not doing that, write down Ephesians 2:8. Commit it to memory this week. Write it down. Post it somewhere. Memorizing things is really easy. Okay, we complicate it. It's really easy. Write it on an index card. Post it somewhere where you're going to see it. Every time you see it, read it. I promise you, you'll have it memorized in 2 weeks. Okay? Start committing the Word of God to memory. And what's going to happen is you're going to read it, and then you're going to walk away, and you're going to think about it just for a second. You're like, what did God mean by that? What does it mean that by grace I've been saved? You're going to start to think about the grace of God. You're going to start to roll these things over in your mind, and what's going to happen? It's going to transform you. It's going to make you in somebody new. So the belt of truth, it holds everything together. Everything else in the armor relies on the belt of truth. That's why Paul listed it first. It's because it's crucial. If you don't believe the truth, then you're not going to believe that you have righteousness. If you don't believe that there's an objective standard, then when the hard times come, when temptations come your way, you're going to give in to them. You're going to relax. You're going to let down your guard. Because you don't believe the truth. So you don't believe that there's something better for you and that Jesus has something better for you. Everything starts with the truth. Then there's the breastplate of righteousness, which is something that God gives to us. It's not something that we have to work up, but instead it's something that we just believe in and walk in through Christ as we're learning to become more like Him. We have the belt of truth. We have the breastplate of righteousness. We've got the shoes of peace that help us to stand firm. We've got the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit. Which piece do you struggle with? Are there doubts and fears that creep into your mind? Are there things that try to trick you, to deceive you, to hold you bound? Are there things in life that are confusing or frustrating for you? What piece of the armor have you left behind? Because God wants to give you that today. We're not surviving but we're walking. We're not just surviving, but we're walking in victory. Because God wants to strengthen your life. He wants to fortify you, but also he wants to strengthen your marriage. He wants to bring your family back together, because truth and peace are guarding your hearts. And now when you walk in and it feels like everything's frustrated, everything's falling apart, now there's peace and there's truth in that environment. We have kids that are watching their parents stand in faith instead of fear and push back the enemy when the enemy tries to lie to them. We have a church that's grounded in righteousness and that's bold in speaking the word of God in love. And this is a victorious life. This is what God is calling us to. This is what God wants for us. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for the armor of God, for all of these things that you've woven in to this brilliant analogy that you gave us to teach us how to live life grounded in your word, trusting in you with peace, with wholeness, with the helmet of salvation in place, with our shield of faith held high. And God, always quick to say the things that you've said, always quick to share the truth in love. God, we thank you that, Lord, you are here with us today. God, I ask that your truth would go right now. God, that it would reveal to us some of these areas that you are calling us to and that you want us to walk in. And so